No.
And he would never just discount him any, I think it basically just was anybody that was going to offer millions of dollars for a job.
That's cool.
So, I don't know how he'd do out there.
Yeah, it is good that he went ahead and said, don't discount anything, because then he looks like an even bigger liar when he ultimately takes the job. And I don't know that he will ultimately take the job. I mean, what would you do if you're James Franklin? Would you leave Penn State for USC?
Has he ever worked on the West Coast?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. That's gonna be one to watch. I mean, you just never know. I mean, they've got a faction of their boosters and fan. You know, obviously fans and power base that want to see a USC person. If I were them, the most intriguing person to me right now would be Bill O'Brien, following the Russell Smith blueprint.
Yeah, I want somebody with head coaching experience. Somebody who's on the cutting edge of the modern game, and I think O'Brien obviously is. He's coached in the NFL, coached in college now. And
he's got a lot of similarities to two of their most successful coaches, Pete Carroll and John Robinson, which is the NFL. What do you call it, the failed NFL coach route?
Yeah, I mean, Franklin seems like an odd fit. I know he's successful. He would have been a good fit here. Like, if he's going to leave, if he's going to go anywhere, I think he's either a good fit in the Northeast where he's at or at Tennessee.
Either that or, I mean, I could see him being, you know, up there at Penn State. I think that's where he's from. Or I could honestly see him being a lot more comfortable getting back into the SEC at a much bigger school than where he was at when he was at Vanderbilt. I could see him at Florida.
And to answer your question, Bear, he has not coached anywhere on the West Coast except for Washington State as tight ends coach for 1 year.
Yeah.
All right.
I got a feeling they're going to go in a in a rather predictable USC kind of direction. I may be wrong, though.
Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Citizens National Bank. Did you know that you can get local discounts right from your phone with a CNB Plus Perks checking account? Banking with Citizens National Bank has its perks. Find out more at cnbtn.com or call 865-453-9031. That's Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Our guy Chris Dortch over at Blue Ribbon has got Blue Ribbon ready to roll. He's got his top 25 out. And Chris Dortch, known Rick Barnes fan, has the Volunteers ranked much higher than Gary Parrish, who is on the list, had Tennessee ranked earlier this week. Parrish had us number 20. Dortch has us number 10.
That's a lot more respectable.
I've always said Chris Dortch, much better basketball mind than Gary Parrish. I've always said that. People ask me all the time, and I say, oh, no, not that Parrish guy. Chris Dortch, that's the way to go. He's got Gonzaga number 1. UCLA number 2. They bring back like everybody from that team. Juzang came back. That what's the point guard with the dreads who was so good in the tournament?
Can't remember his name.
Oh man, I see him. Tiger Campbell.
That's right.
Be good squads, man.
Who's 3?
Drew Timmy came back to Gonzaga. Kansas in at number 3. I don't know much about them. Texas at number 4. I mean, that is so bizarre to me that after the Shaka Smart thing, they just can't get any traction. And they do what everybody knew they were going to do, is hire Chris Beard from Texas Tech. And he has just immediately flipped that roster. I mean, even Barnes took 2 years, had like 2 throwaway years before he could get any traction. Once he got traction, it took off immediately. But
yeah, but it's, I mean, there's a lot's changed since Barnes took this job.
Yeah, I guess so.
With the portal, and you can flip it a lot quicker.
Yeah, I mean, they loaded up quickly. Villanova 5th, Michigan 6th. They've got a good team coming back. Kentucky 7th, Duke 8th, Purdue 9th, Tennessee 10th. He's got Memphis number 11.
Really?
Yes.
That's not good.
Well, they got a bunch of dudes, man. They got a bunch of good players. And is it
they only had a coach.
Imani Bates was the guy that was the number one player in the 2022 class who reclassified. I think he's going to play there right away. So they're loaded up. I think what's interesting is Kentucky has just been on a – and even not guys that are going to be playing this year, but did you see where they got another top five prospect commit yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they've got the NIL thing figured out up there. They've got it. They'll get it up and rolling.
Well, they can have the mythical recruiting championships as long as they take that L when Big Rick Barnes strides into town. What's he got? He's won two in a row at Rupp, right?
Yeah, he owns him. Think most he's successful Tennessee coach against Kentucky so far.
Let's see. They got that Kellen Grady kid from Davidson transferred in there. Sevier Wheeler from Georgia transferred there.
Did Wallace commit to him?
No, he's visiting here this weekend.
Huh.
Cason Wallace is visiting Knoxville this weekend.
Yeah, I know he's visiting here, but didn't he commit? Did he commit there?
To Kentucky?
Yeah.
No, we survived that. So you got to feel good about getting the last visit. I mean, it's you're going up against Kentucky for a five-star basketball player. It's going to be difficult, but you get the last visit. I'll ride with Rick Barnes. Need to have a nice season, though. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I don't think we're going to put two guys in the first round this year. We'll see what we have in Kennedy Chandler. Probably ought to withhold judgment until we actually see him playing college basketball. But you're going to have to win some ball games, which I don't – let me specify.
He needs to win some games in the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. We know he's going to win games. He's got to win some games in March because I think that could be used against him in recruiting a little bit as well.
I would if I were any of these other schools recruiting against us. Like, you're not going to get any exposure in March.
Yeah.
Be home after that first weekend.
It's a fair criticism. It is a fair criticism. By the way, in that Dortch top 25, he's got Baylor number 12, the defending national champions. They lose a lot off that team. And then Arkansas, 13th in his poll. Alabama,
where's he
15th.
Got Alabama?
15.
Damn, he's got Alabama at 15?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to get Chris on soon. Pick his brain.
Loaded in the backcourt, Alabama. Quinterly and Shackelford are back, and then they add five-star freshman J.D. Davison to the mix. Stay with us. The drive continues. We're going to get to these phone calls. Again, we're open lines this hour. You want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot now. The G3 Help Me hotline wide open at 865-546-8200. Your phone calls coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, where it's Phil up first today on the show. Good afternoon, Phil.
Why, sorry, W.
Philly, what's up?
How you, Bear Bryant, and next thing done?
Man, we're making it through the glorified off week here. It's okay. Not a great opponent this weekend, but we're doing the thing anyway, delivering the product, just shoveling it out there.
Y'all not too high about having Peyton and Eli in the booth for Tennessee and Ole Miss. That'd be a major improvement over that garbage we had during the game last week or the SEC Network.
Oh, man, those guys on the Pitt game are terrible.
It'd be good commentary. I know we're probably not going to win, but
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. It's just that game, I already know I'm going to be a bundle of nerves, and I don't want to be pissed at Peyton. Because I know I'll just get pissed off at everybody. Unless we're winning, then, of course, it would be great. But I don't really expect to win right now, Phil.
When is the last time Ole Miss won in Knoxville? I bet it's been a long time.
Back in the 80s?
They've not done it since I've been alive.
It would have to be before – I don't know, man. It's been a long time since they've won here.
I really can't recall the time we've lost them here. But we pretty much get our britches pulled, spanked when we, you know, go down there and we're no good.
I don't know. They haven't beaten us that much, have they?
We haven't played them that much, except back whenever we – before they split the division, we played Ole Miss every year.
Well, I know I was in the stands as a 9-year-old lad when Chuck Webb ran wild over Billy Brewer's boys to the tune of 294 yards, a school record that still stands, Phil.
Yeah, great day. I was there too.
They haven't won here since then, I'm pretty sure.
They haven't won in Knoxville since 1983.
Yeah.
That's the game that Randall – that's the game Randall Moore swung the ball on the goal line and while he lost the game. I remember it now. It was a night game.
Yeah, November 12th. Wow. 1983.
Yeah, well, it's about time to –
haven't beaten us very many times.
Well, there beats a few times, not many.
All-time record, Tennessee, 44 wins. Ole Miss, 19 with one tie.
We used to play in Memphis a lot back in the day. In Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah. It was the old Crump Field, I believe.
Yeah.
It's the last time we played him at the Liberty Bowl when Tuberville was at Ole Miss.
Yeah, 1996 we played him down there, I believe, in Memphis.
That's when Peyton had a big game, didn't he?
That'd be a good spot for this game.
It was a Thursday night game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're up. But that's good talking a little Tennessee basketball there. Kind of interesting about Kentucky and Alabama recruiting. I believe Brandon Miller's going to go to Alabama.
Really? Oh, that's a gut punch.
His daddy played football at Alabama. Did you know that?
I did not.
Well, I'd say the Piper's been paid many of the times in the past, and it was, you know. You know how Alabama does it.
What do you think about – is the Wallace kid visiting this weekend, Phil?
Yeah. Like you say, it's the last visit. He hadn't committed to Kentucky yet. In fact, I'm going to wonder if he'll go there, even though it was his dream to go there, because he'll have more competition at Kentucky than we'll here, even though Tennessee's loaded at the guard position.
And he sounds like the kind of guy that can play on the ball, off the ball, don't matter. Kind of a piece that Rick Barnes could probably use.
Oh, yeah. Well, he might be a one-and-done type talent. I mean, he's ranked anywhere from, 5 to 10 in the country. I mean, that's the ones that usually end up one-and-done.
I'm looking at Rivals right now. They've got a number 10 overall.
And you look, we've had Tennessee's had two straight years of top five recruiting classes. The Keon and James Springer class was very disappointing because we didn't get anything out of it. Hopefully we'll get something out of this top five class.
Well, it's an inexact science, right? I mean, you look at the two dominant teams last year is Baylor and Gonzaga, and those were largely veteran teams. I know Gonzaga had the Suggs kid at point guard, but he was kind of – he was just surrounded by a lot of veteran talent. So I just don't think that you can rely on freshmen unless you have a team like Kentucky had in 2012. You're going to need some good veteran players around those guys. And, you know, for this team, it's obviously John Fulkerson, Josiah Jordan, and James. Those are going to have to be the leaders of your team to take the pressure off a Kennedy Chandler or even – the transfer from Auburn, Huntley Hatfield, those guys.
Yeah. I still think Kennedy Chandler is the straw that does the drink. Because you look at last year, that's where we struggled the most with point guard.
Yep.
Look at all the games we lost.
Yep. And we
just turnovers.
Never defined that role, really. I mean, who was the point guard last year? Vescovi?
Vescovi, and he's not a point guard.
Keon, Springer a little bit. Like, you just never never found that guy that you could just really trust with the ball.
So, there's a tip-off. I mean, the
kid out of New York.
Yeah, he may play some, hopefully. The kickoff is what? Is it noon Saturday, our kickoff?
Yes.
And that's on what, ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it, Phil?
Yeah, and then 3:30, real football comes on, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's going to be a bigger blowout, Tennessee over Tennessee Tech or Alabama over Florida?
Florida probably play them tough for a while. But if Alabama might do us a favor, they could injure that freshman quarterback down there, we'll have a better chance.
Phil, that's a terrible thing to say. It's a terrible thing
to
say.
I mean, we're all thinking it. I mean, it is. I mean, it's horrible. But don't act like you haven't thought about it, Russ. Come on, be honest. When you first saw it, they finally had to play somebody before they played us.
I didn't think, no, I did not hope that Bama would soften them up. I will, however, admit to now that Anthony Richardson, who I think is just based off limited highlight clips I've seen, because I do my research here on the program.
We do our research. Have you done your research?
I do think he is a superior prospect to Emory Jones, and he scares me. And he pulled a hammy. He had a long touchdown run against South Florida. He pulled up a little bit gimpy towards the end of it. And Dan Mullen says he's been practicing. They're going to try and play him. I mean, if he got sprung on a long run and just yanked that thing a little bit to the point where it's, you know, he's going to need, say, 2 weeks to recuperate, that wouldn't be the end of the world.
No.
That wouldn't be the end. I mean, I wish him good.
You shouldn't feel bad for, you know, hoping
that, Russ. I feel bad about the – I can't go down the dark, destructive, awful place that you go to. But if he
were, I'm a big proponent of MRI machines, and I feel like terrible. They need a good workout.
If he were to re-aggravate a pre-existing injury slightly so that he can't play against Tennessee, to me, that wouldn't be terrible. Oh God, what am I doing? What am I doing?
It's a slippery slope. Next thing you know, you're going to be right there with me. Buying stock in MRI.
No! I'll never join you!
Yeah, you will.
I wonder who makes the best ones.
What?
General MRI Electric, I believe. I don't know. I think it's GE.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the drive with us this afternoon. 546-8200. As we do the thing live here on Fan Run Radio. Would love to hear from you as we break things down. Looking forward to visiting with our friend Josh Pate of 247sports.com coming up here in hour number three of the show.
Kick Josh.
You see these college football ranking the job lists that are going around?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have.
I was the one on The Athletic where they polled coaches, and Tennessee was not mentioned. They only went through 12 because I guess if the coach doesn't mention you, you're not going to be ranked, right?
Right.
But there was our friend Boomer Sooner, who I really like on Twitter, the guy who does all the graphics.
Oh, Big Game Boomer?
Big Game Boomer, I'm sorry. He did a thing where he ranked all the coaching jobs in tiers. Did you guys see that one?
That was a really good one.
So he had like the tier one coaching jobs. He had them as Alabama, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Ohio State, OU, Texas, USC. I don't know if Nebraska should be up
there.
Yeah, he did. He did.
You're going to put Nebraska in there.
It's Big Game Boomer. He's a little bit of Oklahoma bias in there. It's Big Game Boomer. What are you going to do?
Nebraska?
Yeah, I disagree too, but it's Big Game Boomer.
Okay.
And then in Tier 2, he has Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Penn State, Tennessee, and Oregon. And then he goes through tier 3, 4, 5, and then 6. He's got Duke, Kansas, and Vandy as the worst group of five jobs. I just thought it was cool. I don't know, people say it's big game boomer. It's just some guy on Twitter. Okay, fair enough. He's got us in the tier 2 right there alongside LSU, Georgia, Auburn, and Florida. And that makes me feel good that somebody who's obviously not looking at things through orange-colored glasses still thinks enough of the job, of the brand, to include it right alongside those schools.
Yeah.
Because being honest, I don't. I think it's been devalued to the point where I would put it tier 3, amongst the Florida states, Iowa's, Miami, Michigan State, North Carolina. Like, to me, that's kind of where we are now.
That's some recency bias on your part. If you look at overall, historically speaking.
How are we defining recency? Because recency is going on 12 years now.
Yeah. But the 100 years before that, we've always been we were tier 1.
Yeah, but Army and Navy were tier 1 jobs in 1950. So I don't know.
I'd still put Army and Navy kind of, but I'm probably the, I'll admit I'm the outlier. I'd put them.
Yeah, you're the outlier. Those terrible jobs. Nobody wants those jobs.
Yeah, it's still, historically speaking, those are major name brand programs.
And your players have to listen to you.
I didn't see this coming. Not a big supporter of the service academies. Got you marked down there.
Yeah, that's
Pinko.
That's it. So I think it's encouraging there that I don't know. It'd be a good question for Josh Pate a little bit later. Like, where is the Tennessee job in terms of prestige? How much damage has been done to it through the years, and how quickly could it come back? Because I noticed in the athletic list, Clemson is now a top 10 job, and I wouldn't argue against that. But if you go back 20 years ago, Tennessee is probably a top 10 job, and nobody thinks Clemson is a top 10 job. So it can change pretty quickly. But But right now,
I don't understand how he's got Nebraska.
Yeah, I don't know either. Top tier. Yeah, that's kind of strange.
I don't know. Matthew on Twitter. Let's see what Matthew. Yeah, I want to get this right. Big game boomers in the running for biggest dumb blanks on Twitter. Just a complete brain donor.
I don't know. He's got us a tier 2 job alongside Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU. I assign a lot of value to big game boomers' opinions.
He was right about the restrooms.
He was right about the restrooms. This is the guy who listed us worst restroom in college football.
I don't know that I agree with that one either.
What's the worst restroom in college football you've been to?
The worst? Legion Field. Dating myself a little bit there. I don't know if it was so much the stench or the pool of blood that you had to step on and get out of there.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
So you're watching the game. Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. We go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline where Roberto is waiting. Good afternoon, Roberto. You're on the Drive.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Russ, did you make a Masters of the Universe reference earlier? Did I catch that?
Probably. I'm a big He-Man guy. I'm sure it's influenced me deep within my subconscious. What did I say?
I'll be honest. I will never join you. You said that earlier. Did you catch that?
Oh no, that was Star Wars. That's what Luke said That's what Luke said to Darth Vader when he was trying to tempt him to the dark side.
It's also in Masters of the Universe, Dolph Lundgren style.
Really? Oh, that movie was so bad.
Oh, it's one of my kids' favorites. They think it's the greatest movie ever. Oh, they think it's amazing. Yeah, they're seven.
I remember seeing it. I was so disappointed because it was just nothing like the TV show. Although, was it Christopher Lee as Skeletor? was
no, 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 no.
It was a great performance.
No, what's his fudge? He's got an Italian last name. I forget it. Darn it.
It wasn't guy. Christopher. It yeah, it was maybe Frank no, something.
Frank Langella. You are correct. Frank Langella, I believe is how it's pronounced.
I'm going to look that up. I don't know. I feel like we're giving out fake news here on The Drive, and that's never something we want to do, Roberto. People come okay. to us. People come to us for
yeah.
the you're right. It was Frank Langella, the great yeah. Frank Langella as Star Wars, as Skeletor in Masters of the Universe, the movie. It made his career.
1987, right?
Who was the young girl in that on Earth that they encountered? Do you remember? You remember who?
Yeah, that would be Courtney Cox.
Oh yeah.
You're welcome, America.
Oh yeah.
Long before she was in love with Chandler Bing, she was in love with that guy who.
Not before she was dancing on stage with
yes.
the boss.
Yep.
Correct. Wow, I forgot about that one.
Dancing
too.
In the dark.
Yeah, that's what gave her a big break.
Well, anyways, guys, moving forward from He-Man to Tennessee football, which is about as big a drop as you could possibly imagine. I don't care who our quarterback is anymore. Like, I'm so tired of hearing about it. This week, it's the only thing that people have to talk about. Can we talk about how good our defense is playing? I mean, that's kind of where I'm going with this whole thing. Yes, they gave up 27 the other day in the second quarter, but they also, the other team started the ball three times on their half of the 50. So I think that we ought to focus on how good our defense is. We've got guys, they're absolutely coaching up our defense. Theo Jackson, who I like a lot, by the way, who really never got a shake with the other staff, Matt Butler, And I would probably argue from my side, Alante Taylor or Tyler Barron of Bears alma mater are the three or four best players on the team combined right now. Like, they're all on defense, and they seem to be all very highly ranked on the Pro Football Focus stuff. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah, I noticed that. It was kind of ironic, right? Our offensive coach, the offensive players did not fare well. Maybe that's because Pitt and Narduzzi, and they got a good defense, but a lot of good scores on that defense.
Yeah, and I just mean overall, I believe I saw where Matthew Butler is the number two ranked defensive lineman in the country by Pro Football Focus after week two. Did you see that?
I mean, it's amazing. You start getting your suits cleaned at Crown Cleaners, next thing you know, boom.
There you go. Go see Big Don Holacek. He also cleans Roberto's suits and does a hell of a job. Great guy, too. But lastly, I'm so tired of people accentuating negative right now in the world where we're fighting a worldwide pandemic, untold atrocities across the world. We won't even mention the Nasser stuff that came out yesterday with Michaela Maroney. That's awful. I mean, that guy needs to be hung, and I'm not even kidding. And, you know, and it's just all these atrocities, and we have Tennessee football, which has in and of itself been an atrocity for two decades. But we can be positive because I think we're actually going to sneak up and beat somebody with that defense. I think we're going to actually get things straightened out, and I think we have a really good defensive staff to be coupled with some guys who can clearly call plays on the offensive side of the ball. We just got to have our trigger man, and I'm just going to leave it at, I don't even care who it is. It will work itself out, or, as we all know, in 3 years, we'll be doing what we do best, which is another coaching search. Guys, I hope you have a really good day.
Thank you, Roberto. You too. Great phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines this afternoon, and the defense is playing well, man. There are reasons for optimism out there, I believe, and hopefully more are to come. And I think, is there anything Tennessee could do Saturday against Tennessee Tech that would have you optimistic about our chances
Florida?
In the swamp? Yeah.
No.
No.
No, I mean, it's just the difference in talent levels between the two teams and the fact that it is Florida. It is a swamp. We don't win down there.
Not often.
We've won down there four times in my life. Three or four. Mm. We won twice with Clawson.
We're due.
And then when I was still pooping my pants, when I was in diapers, was the last time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was an 0-1, the 9/11 game.
No,
that's good. That's good.
No. But, no, I mean, Casey Clawson won twice down there. And then when I was a baby, I think we won once or twice down there. But, I mean, which, you know, thank you, Russ, for allowing me to give me the runway to launch into another. Thank you, Trey Wallace. This is the time of year where I pull out those five crisp $20 bills I won off Trey. The dumbest bet ever.
What, he bet Tennessee would win straight up the last time we were in the swamp?
Yeah.
That was the game Garantano missed that dude. DWA, yeah. Wide open. We probably should have won that game, man. If you had competent quarterback play, who knows?
I was sweating it for just a second, but yeah, I've still got all five of those 20s in an envelope on my bedside table. That's how sick I am.
Are we going to have, I feel like the last, you had the damn it game in 2017, and then didn't JG throw a pick in the end zone? We got a fumble, I think, in the red zone, set us up real nice, and then JG ends up throwing a interception or something.
I mean, they all the trauma kind of runs together at this point, Russ.
So I'm just wondering, are we going to have a red zone disaster turnover this year that just leaves us all shell-shocked, bewildered, and traumatized?
I mean, this is Pat Ryan's first big test after taking over for Tim, which shout out to Tim. I hope he's resting comfortably wherever he's at right now.
Resting comfortably.
He's enjoying his grandkids' weekend sporting events. Probably find a lot more success. What was it you termed it? Tim Priest's slow descent into madness.
Yep. Jeremy Pruitt football sent him over the edge, as it did many of us. Folks, the biggest game of the NFL slate is Sunday night in Baltimore. Chiefs, Ravens. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the weekend right by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. Go set up a same-game parlay. Do the money line, the spread, the first touchdown score, whatever you want. They've got it all there. You can combine it any way you want it. That's the way you need it. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say, Bear. I almost broke into song. Is that Journey? Who am I singing? Why can't I remember any of these groups anymore? Am I just getting old? Is this what happens? Is this the future?
Yeah.
Chiefs, a 3.5-point favorite on the road at Baltimore. I like the Chiefs to cover. You can make your bet 30-1 odds on FanDuel. FanDuel's sports betting made simple. They're always hooking you up with great offers like this. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 this Sunday before the Chiefs take on the Ravens. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code DRIVE1 so they know I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users. Fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. I like Roberto accentuating the positive this afternoon on the drive. The defense certainly has been a positive. And as I said earlier in our first segment, I believe, this is a game Tennessee needs a shutout in. If you do give up any points, it needs to be to the backups. And this is a game where you look at that defense and I won't complain if Solon Page and Aaron Beasley are playing linebacker early and often in this one. In fact, I'd like to see them get a lot of work in the second half and maybe even take the training wheels off for a Aaron Willis or a Quaze Garland, one of those guys, get those guys some run. Christian Charles, Tamarian McDonald in the back end. Get to see the transfers, Turnage and Haddon at cornerback. I think there's a lot of guys that could get a lot of run this weekend for the Volunteers, and that would be a good thing. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. Back to wrap up hour number two of The Drive right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. A couple more minutes here left this hour of the show. All lines currently available on the G3 Help Me Hotline for the first time this afternoon. If you want to chime in, take a shot. 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. Some feedback from Blake. Sent me a DM on the Twitter machine. Don't like all the talk yesterday about comparing Heupel to past coaches. One thing I will say is that all the secrecy and not directly answering questions will get old real fast if he's still losing next year. As he's referencing Heupel's inability, or not inability, but disinterest in talking about the quarterback situation, going back all the way to the preseason. You just not going to tell you who his quarterback's going to be. Not going to do it.
You could say that about, I mean, if we're not winning next year, there's, I mean, the unrest is just going to start up.
Mm-hmm. Next year, that's what we're giving him?
I'm not saying that's what I'm giving him.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's a more than a small group of fans that will. I mean, it'll be more than just Jamie.
No, it's already happening right now. Yeah,
he's the only person that's out on him right now.
Jamie commandeered the last hour of our show yesterday and the first hour of Three and Out. I was listening to them. They start talking about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he call, or they just?
No, they're just referencing his call on our show yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like you did inject some much-needed discipline back into the show. You gave Jamie a lot of room over the summer to do his thing that he likes to do.
Well, I don't know if it's next year. I'm through putting a time frame on these things, right? Like, Heupel's our coach, and look, if he does something where I feel we need to call for his head this weekend, then by God, I'll do it. I don't know when right. It is, but I mean, Blake's point is well taken. If we get into year three or four and you're up there and it's like, Coach, who's the quarterback going to be? Well, we got a lot of confidence in both guys, and we don't know who's going to be available, so we'll address that later in the week. That stuff will get old. That will be a cudgel with which we use to smash him. If we end up turning on him, which we're not doing, because it's two games in, and that would be stupid. Correct? Agreed? We all agreed?
Yeah, I don't think he really – I mean, this may sound crazy coming from me, but I don't really see anything yet that – where we would get – like, I'll admit, we got a little personal with Butch and Pruitt. I don't know that I'll go there with this guy.
Already calling him grown up Bobby Hill. Jamie, you're on the
call him that.
You're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
I didn't say anything over the summer that needed to have any leeway, you bunch of sheep. What the hell did I say over the summer? I said I was optimistic.
I mean, maybe optimistic for you, but I mean the rest of us would call that pretty negative, Jamie.
Yep. Revisionist history, Bear.
I saw what you accused us of, Jamie.
What's that?
I saw what you accused us of. I know who your burner account is there, Corn Pop.
Shoe fits, Bear. You guys dusted off your scripts and played your lines hit him with perfection. You guys have already starting to get the division between the fan base. I don't attack you guys. You guys attacked me.
There's no division amongst the fan base. I mean, you had a whack phone call, Jamie. You had a whack phone call. We flushed you. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Seems to happen about the same time in everybody's tenure.
What happened? You say divided fan base. If I put the poll in the field right now, do you approve of the job Josh Heupel's doing? What do you think the results would be? You think it'd be 50-50? It'd be like 90-10. People are on board with him.
It would be, but, I mean, also, are you unimpressed or impressed so far?
I don't really have an opinion. It's been two games.
So the poll would be it wouldn't be a true –
The jury is still out.
Hey, guys, here's what I wanted to hit on today, and I know it's at the top. You know, Russ and Bear, we were talking, you know, if this doesn't work out, we'll do what we do best. We'll blow them out and move on. Guys, we've been UT fans. We've seen the good. We were well into our adulthood whenever it started taking a U-turn. How many kids have grown up and have moved on to found a school to pull for that will never get back? And how much more can we take of this happening? You know, we grew up. Our dads were UT fans. We watched games with them. We became UT fans. This is not happening anymore, guys. It's not happening. People don't care. When you've not done anything in your lifetime, why would you care?
They'll come back quick, though, Jamie. All it takes
now,
is
come
a couple
back,
years of winning.
Come back. Bear, coming back is one thing, but if you've never been there, you ain't coming back. If you've ever been to your favorite steakhouse and they went under a new man, you went to another one and found out they were doing better and you come back, that's one thing. But if you've never been there and you've already established a favorite, you know, a favorite Friday and Saturday night joint, why would you go? Why would you give Tennessee a chance?
The same reason I started going back and eating it up with two spoons in the early 80s. We started winning. We were garbage for most of my young life.
I know, but for 20 years?
Yeah.
For 20 years?
Yeah, it was damn near 20 years, Jamie.
We haven't been garbage for 20 years. Come on, man. It had been like 12 years.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, 01, 04, 06, those were good years. We got into the SEC championship in 07.
I mean, we're reaching about the same time frame for what it was when I was a kid.
Hey, Jamie, we got less than a minute. Wrap up for us.
Not to cut hairs with you, Russ, but I guess we'll say 14. I guess 07 was our last.
Yes.
Good year. So we'll say 14 and go. Unless, you know, please God that I will be a guy. Please let y'all have something over me. I would rather y'all make fun of me and win football games than be right and lose. Y'all hang in there.
Well, we're going to make fun of you no matter what, Jamie. I mean, that's just the way it is. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up.